Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time and the readings are from Cycle B.
Time of welcome, new beginnings, new adventures, a pope on the way. It's all exciting. The only trouble is this is not exactly the most exciting set of readings. These readings, as we go into the darkening day of winter, get a little bit darker, okay? Because they're looking at the end of Jesus' ministry. Once again, the disciples are at it. They're bickering among themselves. Who is the greatest? You know, Jesus is staring right down at his death, and that's a worry, right? And they're arguing who's going to be number one. They're imagining some great kingdom. They're imagining, well, sky was the limit. They're arguing and they're oblivious to Jesus and how he is in that moment. Not exactly a great set of friends in that moment, are they? Of course, we would never be so dense, right? Never. Of course, this is a year before an election year, and already we see the kind of who's going to be number one, right? Here comes the battle cry again. And yet even here in our own hearts and lives, how often do we battle for place and position, for acknowledgement and for success? And at times all oblivious to the person next to us and the pain that might be in their heart. We all want to belong. We want to belong on our terms, with the position that we want. You know, I really wish they were arguing what would be the greatest thing they could do for somebody else rather than about themselves. You know, this is first century shame, honor, culture writ large. Everyone was always trying to be one up on their friends, on their family, on their peers. It's called an agonistic society, always in battle. It's competition born of self-doubt. Do I belong? Where do I belong? Do I matter even? Will I succeed? I think we know some of those questions, right? We jockey for attention and position, and the apostles are no different. No different at all. And when Jesus calls them on it, only a guilty silence. Because he's caught them with their hands in the cookie jar of self. Huh? Can't you imagine Jesus kind of rolling his eyes and thinking they're just not getting it? And he does something that I think is incredibly endearing. He takes a little child, puts him right in the midst. Then he puts his arms around the child, right? Jesus puts the child at the center. Isn't that what we want? We want to be at that center. To be acknowledged, to be embraced, to belong. The shame, honor, culture, however, holds that if someone is in the center, somebody else has to be pushed out of the way. But the infinite embrace of God's love, just like an infinite line, where is the center of an infinite line? Everyone is at the center. In a shame, honor, culture, one only achieves at another's expense. But in a truly Christian culture, everyone achieves without anyone being diminished. It's not accidental that the first communities of the church were all poverty-free zones. They cared for one another. Jesus wants a new kind of belonging in which everyone is held at the center of each one's heart. Now, the irony of belonging is that it begins not with my being welcomed, but with my welcoming. Belonging begins not with my being accepted, but by my reaching out to accept someone else. It's not a question of who you belong to. It's a question who you give yourself to, that you may belong to them. Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. He flips the whole focus away from the self. Now, his words actually were a first century surprise. Childhood was terror and life was cheap. You know, only 1 in 3 infants survived to adolescence. You had to wait to see if they'd stick around. And those who survived were not always the luckiest. The orphan would become the stereotype of the weakest and most vulnerable member of society. By putting the child at the center, Jesus puts not only that child, but every child, everyone who's pushed out, everyone who's pushed away, the poor, those who have no power, no position, he puts them all at the center of God's care. Jesus wants no one forgotten, no one pushed away. So he wants a new way of thinking. And then he goes one step further. He asks his disciples to become the marginalized themselves. Or is he saying something different when you hear these words? If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all. And the servant, you can actually translate, the slave of all. God turns everything on its head because God's purpose is, what is our concern for the other? But there's more. Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. Now that phrase goes down kind of easily, right? But who is the one that sent him? Yahweh. And for the Jews, the one who was on the mountain, the one who was hid by the cloud and storm, the one who led the people in a pillar of fire and at night in a pillar of cloud during the day, the one who you could not see lest you die, the one who Moses could only glimpse from the backside, who dwells in the Holy of Holies. Don't you see, when you receive that child, when you receive any child, be they 6, 16, or 60, in Jesus' name you receive God himself. And each one of you in that moment becomes the Holy of Holies. Indeed, your holy ground. We all want to belong and have the respect that allows us to become truly that God-made authentic self. Now, I started teaching in Los Angeles, inner city high school, all boys. They saw a new teacher, a newbie, and they thought, fresh meat. They could destroy a teacher so fast, let me tell you. I can remember turning my back to write something on the board, and every student at an instant picked up their books and dropped them all on the floor at the same time. That takes planning. They were professionals. Now, there was one student, Roberto, who was a thug child from the barrio. He was all walls and isolation. Worse, he was scary. I mean, he really was scary. But as a Christian brother, that's what I was at that time, I knew they owned me. I belong to them. So how do I reach out to Roberto? I used water torture. I rained a steady drip of daily greetings, smiles, friendly comments, questions, jokes, and little by little I got him to smile. And the more he smiled, the more he began to smile at others. And all of a sudden he began to have a sense that he belonged to the family of that school. It was God doing it, not me. It was God who moved his heart. It was a moment of grace. All because someone cared. Because someone took the time to reach out. God was awakening him. Now, each one of you has a gift to give. They're probably not going to be as hard as Roberto, but everyone wants to belong and come alive. So I ask you to do what Jesus did. Form a circle of friends where you can share your story and discover the God who's always been walking with you. Sometimes we don't reflect on it, and in the telling of the tale, we discover. Form a circle of service where you reach out to help someone else and discover there's real meaning and purpose to your life. Form a circle of praise and prayer, because when you, in fact, you take the time to praise your God and thank Him and ask His blessings, all of a sudden you begin to hear God's voice in each other. You know, don't you think it's time we stop doing church and start really being church, one for another? Be the Jesus circle, I say. Be the Jesus circle. This summer, a lot of you know we were at Evangelical Catholic Summer Camp, training evangelization. Staff and six incredible Stanford students. Now, we were supposed to kind of begin this thing in Ash Wednesday. No, not Stanford students. You know, they want to rush ahead. And they know they can do it. And they did it. So I'm going to call on Matthew Decker, to tell us something about that experience and the opportunity that's being offered.
Good evening, everybody. So yes, my name's Matthew Decker, and I'm a junior here, and I have one story. Baseball saved my faith. I'm a member of the baseball team. I'm a catcher. In the first 2 years at Stanford, I really struggled with my faith. I struggled just going to church, and I really didn't feel alive. Until one of my older teammates, introduced me the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes is a group of 30-so-odd athletes from each sport that we get together and we pray. We dive into the gospel. We talk about our faiths. We sing. We have lunch together. We are best friends. Now that's what really kickstarted my faith. My first meeting was spring of my freshman year. And from then, I've met my best friends. And my absolute best friend, I realize, has been with me for my entire life. Jesus. Now, I'm so excited to tell you that we're bringing this small group atmosphere to the Catholic community. You can see on these little pamphlets on each of the pews, everyone pass these yellow things down. They should be in the middle. You'll see on one side that we ask you to fill out your name, phone number, email, dorm, whatever, because we want to give you a small group. At this camp that Father Xavier talked about, yes, we were trained. We were trained how to run a small group. And what were we trained to do? We were trained to be ourselves. We were trained to bring our faith into our words and spread it to as many people as we can. We'll be diving into the gospel. We'll be praying for you. We'll be singing for you. And we'll be your best friends on campus. So all the undergrads, I would like you to sign up right now, especially you freshmen. Because us all as upperclassmen, we want to give you a home. Even though some of you may have traveled from across the world, we want to give you a home here on campus. We want to grow with you, and we want to introduce you to our best friends. And I'll give you a second to do that. Anyone who's not an undergrad, community members, grad students, you can still help out a little bit. On the back side, there is a prayer. And that's a prayer to bring Jesus back to campus. All you community members know that it's here. That's why you come week to week. That's why you came over the summer. But we need your help to bring it to the undergrads, to bring it to the freshman dorms. We want to grow with you in Christ. And we want to do it now. Now, I'd like to call all the other small group members, the leaders, to please stand. And we are going to collect all of those little yellow pamphlets. If you could just pass them to the inside of the aisle, the middle, we'll be up to collect them.
If you read that paper, non-undergrads, you'll know we'll be rolling this whole program out over the year and next year for the whole community. But if any of you want to talk about it, do a little preliminary, you can always come and talk to me.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.